Hey everybody out there, this is Cole Country Wargaming, a podcast dedicated to wargaming and other nerdy activities that we all like to enjoy. My name's Joe. I'm here with Rob today.
Hello.
We would have liked to have been here with more people, but with the corona outbreak going on right now, it's kind of hard tracking everybody down and getting everybody in one spot. So you're stuck with me and Rob for a while. This is our inaugural episode. However, we're not new to this per se. We started out a channel a little while ago doing some podcasts, and we realized we were using somebody else's name. So we closed down that channel and we remade a new one, kind of revamped everything. And in the meantime, we've been getting armies and everything together to release battle reports eventually, which will be fun. But this COVID-19 thing kind of has everything messed up a little bit, but that's okay. Gives us more time to get things painted and whatnot, which is cool. The big problem with it, and Rob, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's been rough on me staying motivated because I can't buy new stuff yet.
Yeah, like for me, it's kind of a mixed bag. It's one of those things where everyone's like, man, if only I had time, and now we have time, and we're like, man, if only I had something else. And that's true. Because usually, I don't know about you, Joe, but like for me, if I have an event coming up, that's when my motivation goes up because I want it to be ready for the event. I have something, or if there's a hard date, like for like, Joe, we're going to film something, and you're like, okay, like I stay up late and I get this stuff done. But without a deadline, since there's no deadlines or dates and everything's kind of up in the air, I can see how it's kind of tough most times, but...
Yeah, because me and you, we're signed up to go to Nova, along with John, who was supposed to join us but couldn't. Nova, as of right now, is still going on. So anybody who's signed up for Nova, I'm sure you've been getting the newsletters, but they are still moving forward as of now. That could change, but I mean, just the fact that it's up in the air kind of creates some mild annoyance with me. Yeah. I need Butcher Cannons for my Leviathan Dreadnought, which I can't get because Forge World is still down.
Joe, today what? Forge World open. There you go. Get your butcher cannons. I can break them off my Leviathan.
Oh, my butcher cannons. Nice. All right, never mind. Scratch what I just said. All right, we're back in business.
Yeah.
All right, well.
You don't want to have to resort to other means, you know, like popsicle sticks or.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to use the grab cannons I have as proxies for the rest of my life. So,
they're basically like auto cannon barrels. They're basically just auto cannons stuck together. So yeah. I guess you could just chunk together the auto cannons from the Chaos Space Marines that are collecting dust.
I mean, technically, to be fair, we don't actually have a model for the Butcher Cannons. Everybody just uses the Storm Cannons.
Yeah.
So it's already a proxy anyway, so I could use whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like one sounds like, you know, like lightning, like storm cannon, or just kind of like hurricane bolter or storm bolter, and then you have butcher cannon. It's the same model, and I don't think people put blood on it or anything crazy. So, it could be anything. And what did you sign up for in Nova again?
I'm signed up for Age of Sigmar.
No, that's right.
Yeah, I'm gonna be entering the Slaves to Darkness. I've been having so much fun painting my Death Guard that I kind of wish I was bringing them, but that's okay. I'm going to bring them to Adepticon, I think, when that rolls back around, if it ever rolls back around. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I know I'm doing the 30K doubles with Brian at Nova instead of Age of Sigmar, so that should be fun, but I'll bring my Age of Sigmar army and can play. I know a couple people are going that want to play, and I'll bring the Chaos Dwarfs. Fire Slayer.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, me and John also signed up for the Age of Sigmar doubles.
So
that'll be cool. Yeah, because the doubles is Thursday, I believe, and then the GT is Friday through Sunday.
So, oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so it's 3 days? Or is it Friday and Saturday?
I think it's 3 days.
Huh, I have to check.
Well, it's 2 days for us plebeians. It'll be 3 days for, like, the champions, the probably.
No, yeah. I don't think Nova does that. I think they used to have this. When I went the 1 year, they had six rounds, three rounds each day, and then I believe the other year they just did five. I don't think it was like there wasn't a finals bracket separately, kind of how LVO did it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be against it. LVO was a blast, by the way.
LVO was a blast.
That. Oh boy.
Yeah. That's a big thing too, to tell you folks at home. Me and Rob did compete in LVO this year. We were there for Age of Sigmar, and we did okay in the tournament. I think Rob, you went what, 3-2 or 4-1?
Four and one.
And I went 2-3, which is okay. I'm proud of that. Whatever.
It's your first event. Don't judge me. Those guys.
I don't care.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was new for our armies, but I had been playing Fire Slayers for months leading up to it, practicing. Plus, the tricky thing is, now we can be honest, Fire Slayers don't require as much thought as your army does.
Well, yeah.
You found that out pretty quick.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's definitely not my skill. Definitely not alcohol or the fact that we lost a lot of money, too, while we were there. So
but to be fair, we did gain a lot of money, too, briefly.
We did. We briefly gained a lot of money. And
that
then just
fun.
As briefly lost.
Feature.
Yeah, it was. It was. I'm actually fairly certain, too, that I got sick with coronavirus there. Because when I got home about 2 weeks later, I got really, really fucking sick. Oh, I said a curse word. That's okay. This isn't going
You're
on YouTube.
Honk it.
I'll get it out and
get
post.
It in post editing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get that out in post. But yeah, I got really sick 2 weeks after LVO. And then with everything coming out now, it's like, I probably had coronavirus. So whatever. Maybe I must be immune now. So I can go play Warhammer.
The other good thing is when you get back into painting up your Age of Sigmar, I know I'm going to go back and put finishing touches and standardize my Legion of Asgore army, the Chaos Dwarf one that I've been playing the past like 3 years since Age of Sigmar came out with the rules for it. Martin Orlando is having a GT in New York City or New Jersey, kind of in the Tri-State Junction area in October, I believe, but some details are to be announced, but he always runs great stuff, and he's a big he's a big community herald, so that should definitely be something that we can get out and do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my Slaves to Darkness is actually mostly painted, which I'm pretty happy about. I mean, I'm looking at Archeon right now, and he's literally just shading one webbing of his wing, dry brushing both webbings, and then finishing little Archeon himself. The mount is pretty much done. And then it's just the base. So I could probably finish him in the afternoon if I could get motivated to do it. But right now I've got Mortarion sitting on my painting table, and I'm sitting here debating on whether or not I want to paint him or if I want to kick him off to somebody else for money.
It depends. Yeah, and that's the great thing about those models. And I'd love if that's why I'm excited about the Giants too. Wow, we're jumping subjects. But big models that, especially with the contrast, really good for base coating and just getting the initial legwork down.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about painting in general. It's as much, you get as much out as you want to put in. And big ones like that, you can get it looking pretty decent pretty quickly. Or you can be like a master painter, like everybody's seen the Golden Beam and Mortarion, and sit there for hundreds of hours and paint it, just depending on what you want to do with it. And that's the good thing. Or if you want to work on other projects and time is money, you can get a commission painter. I work for beer. No, you don't want me to paint that.
I could give you beer to paint one of my Plague Burst crawlers.
There you go.
That's pretty easy.
Beer on your Plague Burst crawler.
And it would look just fine. I actually got a couple vehicles I need to finish for them, but it'll be okay. I mean, you've seen, because you brought up contrast paint, you've seen the pre-heresy scheme I've been doing for my Death Guard, and it's actually mostly contrast paint. It actually looks really good. So
I almost picked them for my 30K Legion that I've been working on for Horus Heresy, and just because of the scheme and the weathering you can do, plus the play style, the game system, the rule system lends itself to playing very much how the armies are in the book.
Yeah,
it's not like you don't have Raven Guard Centurions. Massive armor, like jumping down out of infiltrate, concealment, deep strike, or whatever.
We
don't have 40k rolling around and like massive battle tanks. We don't have.
Well, to be fair, the Blood Angels do like their ball predators in the lore. So
yeah, like you can take some vehicles, but you're limited. Like the game actually limits you. Like I remember it was rolling around the internet for a while, and there was a list that did really well at a GT with Blood Angels, and it was whatever Primaris was out. It was literally Executioners, Intercessors, and he got so much hate on Reddit. I try to avoid Reddit, by the way. But he got so much hate, and he's like, I don't know why everybody's hating on me. I'm like, this isn't a Blood Angels army. And why? Because he had a Ultra Executioners in there. And I mean,
No Death Company, no Sanguinary Guard. Come on now.
But luckily, with the new Psychic Awakening, they got tuned up, and that seems to be the way to go now.
Oh, yeah. Sanguinary Guard are awesome.
Yeah.
They are straight fire.
They're pretty cool. I like those strong casts.
Yeah. I mean, they were obviously the inspiration for Stormcast.
Stormcast was cool.
Because they look very cool. But yeah. Yeah, I do. I do have a Stormcast army. I actually have a complete Stormcast army. Like, I can easily field 3,000 points if I wanted to.
Really?
I just have to get it painted. Yeah, I just have to get it painted. And, I also have about 2,000 points of Beast Claw Raiders right now. But that's my fiance's army, so I'm not allowed to play that one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to Dan's Bone Reapers. Our buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, who will be on the show eventually. Not on here, he'll be in the battle reports, so that'll be something to look forward to.
He paints a lot of the terrain we have. That Mike has.
We got him locked away painting terrain.
Yeah, there's like a crew of us. Yeah, Mike's been working on his Mechanicum for Horus Heresy, and that's looking pretty good. And Gwen finished her Alpha Legion up, and that's Blood Angel.
Yeah. We've actually got a solid core for pretty much all the GW games. I mean, barring their specialty games like Necromunda and whatnot. I mean, as far as the big three are concerned, we pretty much got all the bases covered there. And we got a lot of armies. I mean, I've got a lot of Nurgle in everything. I mean, Dan's got Nurgle Demons. I've got Death Guard. So, I can make a whole Nurgle up there.
Nurgle, Stormcast, Beast Claw. He has Legions in the Gash. He has a bunch of elf stuff, wood elves, cities.
He's got Admech for 40k too, right?
Yeah, he's got Admech, Salamanders. He has a bunch of Eldar.
Right. I forgot he had Salamanders and Eldar.
I'm grabbing some Dark Eldar from him to work on my stuff, but yeah,
nice.
He's a bit of other projects kind of kicking around that he's been working. Oh, his sister's a battle too. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's
hopefully
right.
Hopefully all these projects can get wrapped up, or at least, you know, ready for the table. It'd be pretty cool to play against him. Personally, I haven't seen much Sisters of Battle, just on the internet here and there, to be honest.
Yeah.
The person I've seen, you know, at LVO when I was snooping around, I saw some on the table. But
I think the reason for that is, right when they really got their codex and they came out, they didn't get to exist long in the meta before Corona hit and everything got shut down. So they've kind of been, there's actually a couple things that we're radio silent on. Like, we don't know how well Sisters are really going to do in the meta. We don't know how well Grey Knights are actually going to do in the meta, because a lot of them came out right before the Grey Knights especially came out right before the shutdown. So it'll be interesting to see where the meta ends up after everything opens again and we can start doing stuff.
Yeah, from what I've been reading online, people are learning to adapt to the meta, plus the Marines took a swift kick to the teeth after LVO, but obviously after seeing it, I understand completely why. I mean, some of the people I played against in Age of Sigmar GT, you know, had played 40k and like, oh yeah, you know, it's a little oppressive right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you have an army that their gimmick is pretty much, oh, we just get to re-roll everything, why even have dice at that point? You might as well just say, okay, these 10 intercessors are shooting.
Well, do you want to know why? Because when I roll sixes, it hits more than once.
Oh,
that's why you got to roll.
So you got to roll, and the chance that it gets even better.
Yeah, you're over 100% accurate, like with Bolter Drill and everything for Imperial Fists. If you just
perfect,
fish for sixes, and you're over 100% accurate.
Great game design. Meanwhile, my army wide rule is I can rapid fire at 18 inches, which is now irrelevant because of Bolter Discipline.
Yeah, your Primarch gives you reroll ones, right?
What?
Does your Primarch give you reroll ones?
My Demon Primarch lets me reroll ones to hit. Meanwhile, any Joe Schmo Chapter Master gives you reroll everything. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Captain gives you reroll ones to hit.
Yeah, so Mortarion is about on par with a Space Marine captain, and our Lords of Contagion, which are our like Lord and Captain equivalents, they don't give reroll anything. They just have this little like debuff aura. So
Joe,
I mean,
with that being said, since you've been going deep into Death Guard and you've been painting and the rules and we've been talking about lists and everything, you got to get that. Got to get a game and let's just lifts or simulate one. You know what I mean? I don't want to mention a product name, but if there was three things that you want from your psychic awakening, what is it? War of the Spider?
Oh, yep.
What would it be? Just three things. I know there's like 10 things, but just three.
Boy. All right. The three biggest things I want. I'm going to go with things that are actually realistic because I have some things that I would like to see, but I have a feeling they have no chance of being in Psychic Awakening. The first being, I would like to have access to Demon Forge stratagem, which is the lets demon engines reroll hits and wounds. We currently don't have that stratagem, even though every other Chaos Space Marine Legion does. I don't know if Thousand Suns do, but I think they do.
Do you get veterans in the long war or no?
You do get veterans at least, yeah. We did get that one. I would like Demon Forge because we have a lot of demon engines, but just like the other ones, they only hit on fours. And our chapter tactic currently doesn't affect our vehicles. So like if I wanted to use my Plague Burst Crawlers with Entropy Cannons instead of the Plague Spitters, if they move, I'm hitting on fives. So that's not no bueno. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would like, and this is kind of a general idea, but I would want either a way to deep strike Mortarion, or I would like some sort of stratagem that allows the Death Shroud Terminators to actually keep up with him. Because the problem that you have is you can keep the Death Shroud on the board turn one to protect Morty turn one, but then after that, he just outruns them. And the Death Shroud have no chance of keeping up because they have to have their advance rolls. So they're a 4-inch move with a halved advance. So they're only, at most, moving 7 inches. Morty flies 12 and can advance D6. So,
yeah,
I mean,
plus in bone, right?
Yeah. I would like Death Shroud to be able to keep up with him somehow, whether it's through a stratagem or some sort of teleport or... I don't really know, but there needs to be something because he's way too easy to kill.
That would be cool because I'll just interject here. In Horus Heresy system, Mortarion's special rule for his Primarch rule is after your movement phase, so you advance in your shooting phase, you make an advance roll depending on your rules and whatever type of unit you are, but you can remove him from the board and basically teleport him. He's like Reaping Death, so he can zip up the board, just teleport, and I think that would be a cool thing to see on him or his Death Shroud Terminators, but anyway, continue.
The other thing that I was saying I wanted was the rules for the 7 Vectorums, but we already know we're getting those, so I'm going to skip that one. That one made me happy. Besides that, I'm like going through all our units. I would like something that makes Plague Marines a little better. But, I mean, right now, I still play them because Poxwalkers aren't really that great right now either. It's hard. I'm trying to think of, like, because it would be easy for me to say, like, oh, I want Plague Marines to be 2 wounds. I want Morty to be 8. But they're not changing data sheets in Psychic Awakening. They haven't. Yet, at least, so I don't want to say those things because they have no.
For some units, they did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they did because
James R. They did.
All right, I'll throw this one out here then because it could happen, and I think it's a small change that would have a big enough impact to make them playable. I think Morty needs to be toughness 8, but I also think his mandatory warlord trait needs to be changed. He's forced to take Arch Contaminator. I would rather them force him to take Revoltingly Resilient because then his Feel No Pain becomes 4 up.
Right, but isn't Arch Contaminator, I hate to get mathematical, isn't that like the best one though?
It's really good, yes. But we also need a stratagem that lets us take more than one warlord trait, because then we can, like everybody else has now, we can then take Revoltingly Resilient on Morty and then put Arch Contaminator on a Demon Prince still and let him zip up with the Plague Burst Crawlers and the Bloat Drones. And then he could do his you still get it. You still do all the work. Because Morty is such a suicide bomb type guy that you don't really want him hanging back with Plague Burst Crawlers. Whereas, like, a Demon Prince without wings, I don't mind running up with them and giving that buff and then countercharging things, kind of push into them. So that's the one thing I would like.
I understand. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't played against them. Like, you know me, like, I used to be a never 40k-er, and that kind of went away when 8th edition came out, and I jumped into Mad Mech. And then I was playing with Grays forever.
Yeah. I mean, 40K's got its issues. I mean, now that they've addressed Space Marines somewhat, though, I'm finding that, especially in casual games, I feel like the games have become more fun lately. The new books have added a lot of flavor. I'm a little bit bummed about some books that I thought they could have done a little more, but other people have been brought up pretty decently, and they're competitive now. Like, Grey Knights went from bottom to top, like, overnight, and they don't even have a new codex. So you add a couple stratagems and a couple new warlord traits and relics and whatnot to an army, and they get a lot better. So
yeah, plus I think that it's one of those things where if everybody reads about how unbalanced something is and people look at the numbers, because numbers catch the eye and buzzwords and negative comments that fly around on the internet, because I saw it in Age of Sigmar too, when Stormcast had Vanguard Wing and it was each chain host, and of course those things were extremely strong because I played against them at GTs, but I was using the compendium on me. And I'm saying that same mentality, you can play against it. It might be hard to win it if you're not building towards the gimmick using the tools. But once they start to level things out and they take away the gimmick or, you know, the flavor of the month a little bit, and it gets toned down, then the meta shifts. But I think people are just, in general, you know how it is, they're rigid in their list building and thinking.
Yeah.
Until somebody starts pushing the envelope and then you see something kind of goofy, and then other people have to build towards it.
The problem in 40K was they tried that with Space Marines, but it took them multiple rounds of nerfs to even get them down to remotely fun to play against. And then some people would still argue that they're not fun to play against. So it's I feel like they kind of wrote themselves into a corner with that book. They made it really good and way too good. And it's not even that the game's unbalanced. It's like 99 out of 10 codexes are fine, and then you got the Space Marine one messing it up for everybody, and it just so happens it's the most played codex. So
yeah, and like, I mean, if you just, I guess mathematically, if you look at what they do for their points, like, obviously, you know, if you sit down and your idea of balance is everybody sits and has their own idea of what the scenario they're going to run into is, and for us it's like a 2,000 point game. Like, in a 2,000 point game, you can only take 2,000 points, and they're going to take 2,000 points, and depending on what you take, you only have so many wounds and so much output. And the problem with the Space Marines is they have so much output.
Yep. See, that's one of the big problems Death Guard has. And it's just a side effect of being the second oldest codex. I mean, it's so hard to make lists for them where I feel like I have an adequate amount of output. Because you could be, say, an Iron Hands or an Imperial Fist player, stack your list full of Intercessors, and you could pretty much deal with everything from infantry to knights. So I'm finding I'm having trouble building lists that can adequately deal with stuff, but I've kind of shifted my thinking to not really caring about dealing with stuff and just maximizing objective scoring, because I think that's kind of the niche this army is supposed to fill anyway. I just, to that end, and I know that's what GW is trying to go for because it's the fluff too, but to that end, they have to make the army more resilient, because right now Death Guard is only marginally more resilient than Iron Hands with half to a third of the firepower. So,
and this isn't an ITC rant, but like you said, when they're trying to balance it, if they're trying to balance around one set of parameters or objectives or games, and you mentioned play the objectives.
Yeah.
I mean, do you mean the cards? Do you mean the book? Do you mean the packet?
Yeah. I mean, I guess in this case, I'm meaning the ITC rules, because that's what I'm kind of
playing. I know what you meant, but I meant for terms of GW. Like, what are they moving the balance around? I mean, obviously they have community input and play testers, but do they? Yeah, they have to pick on.
See, especially now with the 2020 update, ITC fundamentally, and I know this is probably going to get me some hate, but it's fundamentally not that much different than Eternal War missions. I mean, it's static objectives. You know what you got to do going in, and it's up to your opponent to either stop you or not. I mean, it's not like you have random objectives like Maelstrom or anything. Like, both players know what they got to do. They got to hold one, hold more, and complete their, or kill one, kill more, and then complete their secondaries. I mean, Eternal War is kind of the same thing. So really, if GW wanted to, if they just balanced the game around Eternal War, they would kind of, in a way, balance ITC as well. But I mean, I think ITC is doing a pretty good job at reacting to what GW does and adjusting the secondaries to make them a little more balanced. Because I do like a lot of the changes they made for the 2020 season. So we'll see how that pans out, if 2020 season could ever start.
Yeah, because I mean, the good thing is Age of Sigmar to me has been pretty consistent. You have set scenarios in the book, and you build for the scenarios. You can get tabled, doesn't matter. Kill points, doesn't matter. And all the armies are balanced around their book, and they have a way to compete in those scenarios. Obviously, you can mix and match with allies, and some armies are better with allies, some are better without, obviously. But for the most part, I mean, like you saw at LVO, there was so many different armies. I mean, it was, what, 8 different armies in the top 10?
Yep.
And over a dozen different armies in the top 25.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
LBO was good. It was a good show for how well Age of Sigmar is doing at kind of balancing their armies. I mean, there is always going to be some outliers, but I would like to get to that point where it's more than just Space Marines and Eldar, and occasionally Orcs and Tau in the top tables.
Why don't you just start playing Orcs or Eldar, Joe?
I hate Eldar. I can't. The only Eldar I would play is a Wraith Host. And
that's Dark Eldar.
I mean, Dark Eldar, okay. I don't really count them, but they got boats, so that's pretty cool. I'm all about boats.
Yeah.
But yeah, to jump back onto Death Guard really quick, because I just remembered something. There's actually two things I want to add to kind of put in that list over what I said. I want a rule that you get for staying pure Death Guard, which would be nice, because then it won't... I just want something. And I want them to incentivize Death Guard as a debuff army. That's the other thing. Yeah. There's bits and pieces in Death Guard that not many other armies have, where they can actually lower the stats in your data sheet. I think they should take that idea and run with it and make Death Guard that army. That would be the biggest thing I would want to see at least started in Psychic Awakening. I want Death Guard to kind of carve out a niche as a synergy-based debuff army, and that's how they kind of push their damage, because they don't have a lot of offensive output. So by not having a lot of offensive output, they need to push the attrition and they need to push the debuffs, because that's kind of how they balance what's going on. And I think that would do a lot for Death Guard as an army, and it would do a lot for the game, because it adds a completely different dynamic now into the game that people have to kind of to be aware of, because no other armies really do that. So it would be cool to see that, like, oh, you get so close to Morty. He's already got an aura that reduces toughness by 1. I think it should be changed to toughness and strength minus 1. Now you charge him into 10 Wolfen with Thunderhammers. They're no longer wounding you they're no longer striking at toughness or strength 8. They're now strength 6, which is huge. I mean, now they're not even wounding rhinos on 3s. They're wounding them on 5s. So, I mean, that would be really cool for the army if they had that kind of mechanic. So that's probably what I would say for them.
I think one thing that would be pretty interesting is what they did with Age of Sigmar, and they have the Maggotkin Allegiance, and you have your contagion table, and you fulfill certain requirements in the game, and you get points. Do you have units on your opponent's side of the table? Do you have Feculent Narl-Maw out? Then you get this many points, D3 points, and it adds up. And it can be used for for summoning more demons to the table. So you're infecting the board. Little mechanics like that, that kind of build into the fluff, but also help balance out the army to fill the niche. Because,
I mean,
you can take your plague casters, or I mean your Oxbringers, and your Great and Clean Ones, and pick from your spell lore, which are primarily debuff spells, and off unit and resiliency buffs to your other units or command abilities. And it adds another layer to the army, depending on how you want to build it. Because from what you saw, we've played, is you can make a Rotbringer's army with a ton of, just spamming a ton of Blight Kings. Dan has, what, 40 Blight Kings?
Yeah.
He took 40 Blight Kings and support heroes and threw debuffs out. Said chew through it, and then he has a list with, 90 Plague Bearers and 3 Great and Clean Ones, and just floods the board and summons, and not so much offense.
People, a lot of the hard K, 40K people will not like Age of Sigmar because they've never tried it. I mean, Age of Sigmar, if you haven't played Age of Sigmar yet, you're doing yourself a disservice, because it does a lot of things right, and it does a lot of things I wish 40K would adopt. I think in particular, the way Age of Sigmar handles the Chaos Armies is great. They don't have Chaos Space Marines, and they don't have World Eaters and Khorne Demons. They have just Khorne. So each book is dedicated to a different god, and you can play the Mortal Army and the Demon Army together as one without breaking allegiance. I think that would be huge for 40K, if instead of needing the Heretic Astartes keyword for everything, you just needed the Khorne keyword for all the World Leader stratagems and whatnot. And then the Heretic Astartes ones could just be used on the mortal guys, but it doesn't break your allegiance, and you still get an army-wide buff for staying pure Khorne. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff would be really cool in 40K. I think it's the way they move. I mean, they're not giving us doctrines. They already had the chance. They didn't do it. So there's not really much of a reason to stay pure Chaos Space Marines right now. So obviously, in the fluff and everything, Chaos is working with the demons. Just put the demons in the book together with us, let us use both of them, and we'll be the hordy kind of demon, but also kind of Space Marine army. If you're not going to give us all the Space Marine toys, at least give us the toys that we're known to use.
Yeah, because there was an issue when I jumped into 40K more and reading and playing, is that there was a distinct difference between the Khorne marked chapter, not chapter, legion. It's still a legion, right? So Chaos Space Marine. Yeah, so the
Khorne marked. War bands
now, I guess they're running around. So they're between a Khorne marked detachment and a World Eaters legion detachment, which obviously is under the influence of Khorne, but they're completely separate, right? And for some reason, and it just doesn't jive that well with each other. Then you have Khorne demons, and then you have demon engines, but they're just not brought together. I guess it's kind of like when I was reading, they brought together Skitarii and the Cold Mechanicus together. And that seemed to make a lot more sense.
Yeah, I think it would make a lot more sense to just integrate demons and Chaos. I mean, if you're not going to make Chaos Space Marines a standalone army like you did Space Marines, you might as well just give them demons and make that their thing, where they're not, they don't have all the toys of Space Marines, but here they have demons. And you know what? I'd be fine with that. If I could run a whole army of World Eaters and back them up with a bunch of Bloodletters and it not break my allegiance, that would be phenomenal. Same goes with my Death Guard. I should be able to run a bunch of Nurgle demons along with my Death Guard. I mean, Typhus is always... I mean, there's Nurglings on his base. So, I mean, he's... The Death Guard are always rolling around with demons. So, I mean, it's really not... It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities. I mean, there are a bunch of desperate warbands just kind of clinging on. They're no longer even at chapter strength. I mean, they're all split up until they unify under somebody to go to attack loyalists. But... they need their allies. So if we're not going to get that kind of pure, strong single army treatment, then integrate the Chaos Armies together under each god, make it just 4 books, and call it a day. I think that's kind of the way to go forward.
Well, if we all had a wish list that was as long as our arm, right? So.
Yeah, that's my wish list right there. Yeah, I mean,
overall, I'm still kind of enjoying the way things are. I mean, at least GW is taking a step in the right direction with rebalancing what they thought mathematically. And like, I guess they track stats and everything, obviously, they just the win rates and what they, what these people are taking and what's stopping other stuff, because I mean, it's imbalanced. And they do that in Age of Sigmar too. They've corrected rules. I mean, you used to be able to bring units into combat with other people in the early part of the game. You could deep strike with a, like with a unit once you play a banner, and you literally place your units around it, and it could end up in within 3 inches in combat with another unit, which was very, yeah. And you could shoot out of combat. You could shoot out of combat across the board and into somebody else's combat, or a hero if you just see their banner sticking out. So they don't balance the game around shooting, and they didn't. And that's why shooting was pretty overpowered for a time. And but the problem was that there was like almost no shooting armies. But when they hit mop up, you either had severely overpowered or severely underpowered. Like early KO was pretty bad. Early Wanderers was pretty bad. And now they kind of amalgamated it in Cities of Sigmar to be the source of reliable shooting.
Yeah.
And I mean, they really made that a unique army. So I'm glad that they finally fixed a lot of it. And Stormcast. But they're like, they're your Marine variant of shooting, but not as much volume.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Age of Sigmar does a lot right. And I do enjoy the game. I mean, I've never played a game of Age of Sigmar yet where I felt like the game was over turn one. I've played many games of 40K where I felt the game was over after turn one. So I think Age of Sigmar is a little bit closer to that balance. And I think that's because of its lack of shooting. Shooting's not as prevalent. But also the big thing is rerolls aren't as prevalent. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing I would like to see kind of transitioned over to 40K come the 9th edition or whatever it ends up being. I would like the special rules to be revamped, and I would like rerolls to become a little less common.
That's what was good about Age of Sigmar, was that they did add rerolls because, hey, if your army is built around 3 infantry blocks and a couple heroes, I don't see the downside to having one reroll if you pay for it. So put in the command abilities, you can do a reroll, but you have to have a hero in range, which exposes your hero to being flown into, piled into, shot at, spells. So if you want the benefit of using your command ability on a unit, you have to risk your character, your hero.
Yeah. And you don't get infinite command points in Age of Sigmar. Mm-hmm. You only get like maybe 2 or 3 in a game unless you have ways to regain them.
Yeah, so you get one per round, and then you can build your list for every battalion, and then you can buy one for 50 points. Most lists I see build around a battalion, so you start with one. Sometimes people buy an extra one. They kind of got rid of the stacking super battalions unless you're playing Skaven, and people don't take those really that often anyway. Those were convocations and such, but anyways, people usually start with one, and then you get yours in your first turn.
So if you have multiple command abilities you want to use, now you're making a choice if you need rerolls or if you need something else. So you're always paying for that opportunity to reroll. In 40K, it's just free. I mean, it's thrown around like crazy. Space Marines just pay before the game even starts, and then they're just rerolling everything all game. So it's something that I think needs to be toned back. I think a lot of the special rules, with 8th edition, they were trying to avoid bloat, and I think the game is starting to get bloated again, so I'd like to see it trimmed back a little bit, and I think it would do a lot for the game and the armies if they let the dice back into the game.
Because the thing is that, like when you mentioned the command points, is that in Age of Sigmar, they're starting to balance how your army works around the command abilities. Like if you noticed, your allegiance gives you a command ability from your heroes. But when you pick, like we'll take Fire Slayers for example, when you pick Fire Slayers, you can take one of the sub-factions, one of the lodges, kind of like a chapter, and it gives you a command ability, and it's a pretty game-altering command ability, such as, hey, guess what, you get to fight before everybody else. Okay, I mean, that's pretty game-altering, but you have to take that. There's a requirement you have to take, and it costs you a command point. Slaanesh, Heathen Knights of Slaanesh, you can fight twice if you have a Keeper of Secrets. So now your command ability is a force multiplier that's linked to your allegiance, where you have to take certain units, and it has to be within a range. So there's all these requirements now. 40k, you have stratagems, which help. Excuse me. Stratagems, which influence, obviously, your output, but, yeah, like, how do I put it?
You can influence everything.
Yeah, you're basically like, oh, I'm going to stratagem for that. Like, especially play soup. Take, if you have a, like what people are doing with knights, you have strong units. Well, why don't you just take a cheap battery for command points to be able to regenerate them endlessly and throw buffs onto your super strong units and have cheap bodies. So
strategies.
What got me excited was they were moving away from it and said, you benefit from these bonuses only if you take everything.
Yep.
You know, like the Space Marines. So I'm hoping they start to do that more so you can still have the option to, but it'll be more self-contained and be easier to balance.
Yeah, because stratagems have gotten to the point where not only are they affecting the entire way your army plays, but they're also, they're so good that they affect the way you even build your lists. Like, I don't know how many times I've left units that I've wanted to use at home because I needed to find a way to squeeze in a second battalion just so I had enough command points to actually get value out of the units I did have. So I would like to see... I would like to see some units across all armies kind of brought up to a level where they don't have so much reliance on stratagems, but when you do use stratagems, they really play into the army's gimmick. Like, they really play into its core strategy, and then it gives you more options in what you do and how you do them, so I'd just like to see a little fine-tuning. I mean, they're on the right track.
Yeah, like,
just need the rest
in Age of Sigmar, like, you don't have, you know, you don't take an army where half of it, like 1,000 points of your army is a bunch of free guild infantry, so that you took certain unit types so that you can use your Stormcast Eternals shooting the hero phase ability more and more and more and more. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So it's a more restricted system, and your army's balanced around it, which I think if they dialed it back and broke it down, but I understand they have to do these things in steps and phases, which I think they have been doing. But
yeah, I have a feeling the next edition, I mean, if it's even technically a next edition, I have a feeling it'll be more significant of a change than people think it will be. I think they're going to really take a lot of cues from Age of Sigmar, and they're going to kind of incorporate those things into the game, because they're already starting to do that. I mean, combat doctrines alone and the super doctrines are kind of like the Age of Sigmar tomes and the allegiance abilities. Everybody, it's the same thing. So as people start to get those, and Sisters of Battle have them, right now the only two, I would say, Sisters of Battle and Space Marines are 9th edition codexes, and they're the only ones currently. They are made with a completely different edition in mind. I mean, obviously they still play in this edition and they're very good, but you could just tell by the way they're written, by what they're doing, that they've got a different game in mind than everybody else's, because everybody else's codexes are very differently formatted than the other two, and they lack certain key structural things that you find in the Sisters and the Space Marine Codex. So it'll be interesting to see when everybody gets updated.
Yeah.
What ends up.
And I'm looking forward to the new changes with Age of Sigmar, because I think they finally have it on the level where the books, I mean, obviously some got left behind, like the original Stormcast, Beasts of Chaos, and Nighthaunt from 2 years ago. But, you know, like, remember last winter into the spring in February, when Skaven and Flesh Eater Courts came out with their new book, how game-changing that was, because there was somebody who brought Flesh Eater Courts the same day that the tome was released, and the TO said you could use it, which was okay. And basically, people didn't know what was going on, and you could double activate immediately. It was before the FAQ, so there was all sorts of crazy stuff that hadn't even really been seen before.
And
it was built around the big terror guys, and they were fishing for sixes and often doing like 48 mortal wounds, 32 mortal wounds, 32 mortal wounds or something per combat phase with these two beasts, two, three beasts, was wiping armies in like 2 turns. you know, but again, it's one of those things where it's not impossible. You know, we had a close game. I lost by 1 or 2 points. You know, it was a good game. But you just got to change the way you play and change the way you think and stay positive.
Yep. Every time something new comes out, you just adapt. You do the best you can. I mean, I got into Death Guard when I knew they were underpowered, so I didn't go into it with any sort of expectations.
Plus, we're not going to be slamming out like top end, competitive battle reports all the time.
There's nowhere to go but up. And if I lose, I could just blame it on the army and not myself. So that's, remember people, there's a key to playing underpowered armies. You can always blame somebody beside yourself, which is great. I mean,
what did you say last time? You lost one game, I lost one game. Therefore, I guess we're balanced, right?
Yeah, we're the same.
Yeah, we're the same.
So it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. All right, so to kind of bring things down a little bit, I know we went on a little rant session there, but I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about right now. The meta's in shambles. GW is kind of on pause. No new stuff has come out. I mean, there's a few things that have been leaked, like Giants, Lumineth for Age of Sigmar. 3 Psychic Awakening books are now kind of in the queue. What's coming out that you're most excited for, and what are you working on now leading up to gaming, getting back into full swing?
I would say for me, I'm not looking at buying anything new. So the only thing coming out that excites me really would be the next General's Handbook for Age of Sigmar and the Giants, because I think the Giants would be cool. It's kind of like the Mercenaries, they said, because you can take them in any army. Obviously, you have the command point attacks, but depending on what they can do and the different variants do, I can see them complementing armies. But for the most part, when they touted the mercenary system, people were like, oh, this is going to be overpowered. But I can count on one hand the amount of times I've played against a mercenary band in somebody's list.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
I mean, I've tried it in the past. I was playing my Chaos Force with Legion of Asgore, and I took the Fire Slayers Warband one just to have a deep striking unit, because I thought it'd be pretty cool to have the shield guys deep strike in. But again, that army doesn't bathe in command points, and there's no real way to get it back.
I mean, the only real ally I hear people take, and this is only order people, is Gotrek.
Yeah. And because he was fun. And again, he falls to weight of dice, and that's just what it comes down to. He's just a monster killer. And what I'm working on now is I am going through my backlog of everything and assembling it and painting. So I'm batch painting all of my 40K and Horus Heresy Imperial Fists at once. So, you know, in the past, 2 weeks, I've put together like 30 Intercessors and like 35 Tactical Marines, a couple more Centurions and characters, and
nice.
Other squads I have kind of base coated with my kind of ochre color, but
nice.
Gonna be working up on it. But it's mostly just getting tired of smelling glue.
Yeah, I gotcha. Can't be huffing too much glue, man. Come on.
Not that plastic glue either.
Yeah, it's no good. I mean, don't do drugs, kids. No huffing glue. I know there's not a lot to do right now, but you know,
it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. You end up like Rob.
Yep. Long hair hobo.
Yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, I think the thing I'm looking forward to most is probably, I mean, obviously the Death Guard Psychic Awakening book. Hopefully that comes out soon. But if I had to say something that's not really so much announced yet, there's been tons of rumors, and you know, one of the sources has been right pretty much about everything for the past year. They're saying this summer, 9th edition. I'm probably most excited to start hearing news about a new edition for 40K. So I know that's a bit of a rumor still, but it's something I would like to hear about, because I just get this feeling based off the Space Marine Descriptors book that something is about to change. So
yeah. And like
looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be one of those like ninja editions where it sneaks in like Age of Sigmar, where they just darken the logo, the story arc moves. Last time when they advanced the edition, it was just like Psychic Awakening. There was a big round of books that came out, but this is more, Psychic Awakening has been more intensive and in-depth than the Vigilus Ablaze, Vigilus Defiant was the other year.
Yeah, it's definitely leading up to something, and I hope it's Emperor's Children, because Fulgrim is in almost all the books. So if Fulgrim doesn't come out soon, I'm going to be pretty upset. But, I mean, I'll leave that one as pure speculation, because, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard much about that. But I do think an edition change of sorts is coming soon. As for what I'm working on, it's been all Death Guard so far. I'd like to get cracking on some Nurgle Demons soon, but I'm kind of debating on not even doing that because Dan has so many. So yeah. I don't really know if it's worth me doing them, because Dan would freely lend me his if I needed them. So,
but they're pink.
Yeah, I mean, well, at least they'll look different, you know. They won't just blend in with my army. I mean, they're demons, they can look a little different, I guess.
Yeah, they can be more, but just I think you should do your Slaves of Darkness to get rolling on that. But
yeah, they're definitely next. After I've had my fill of Death Guard, I'm definitely going back to the Slaves of Darkness and finishing that, because they're not that far from being finished either. So I'll have Death Guard and Slaves of Darkness finished, and then I'll decide what my next project's going to be. Either I'm going to buy something else, which is probably 90% of what's going to happen, or I will start painting my Stormcast. So We'll see. I think being that I have so much Age of Sigmar right now, I do think I need one more 40k army. So I think I might just buy one more complete army, just so I'm kind of even in both games, and then I'll be okay. And then I'll just start working on my backlog completely and not buy anything ever.
Or what you could do is, like you said, something probably in the summertime is going to be rolling out. Just wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be cool. I keep hearing Necrons are going to be part of the next big box, so who knows? I mean, I don't really have much of an interest in Necrons, but I think they're cool. I think it depends on who they're fighting. If it's Emperor's Children, I'm going to get it. So, I mean, that just is what it is. But eventually, I want all four Chaos God armies. So that's my future wish list.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't know. I think I'm set with what I have. I'd like to have like a Krieg army that's like 10,000 points or something, and just walk up and say, what do I want to take? And just grab a bunch of vehicles and say, this is pretty cool.
Speaking of your Krieg, I have your tanks taking a bath. So
there we go.
Yeah. So they'll be stripped before you know it, and you can get back to painting those.
Yeah, I got about 200 shovels and 300 gas masks gotta put together.
See, that's how bored you are. You're stripping models now just to paint them again.
Yeah, no, but it's basically because I changed my scheme. Well, I got like 80 guardsmen together and 40 horses, and the horses are going to get contrast on them. They're bat breath horses. So they got to be all around.
All right. Well, I think we're going to just stop it there for now. I think we had a good talk today. Kind of hit all the points I wanted to hit. Got to get our names out there so people know what to expect from us. We'll be trying to record as much as possible. We'll be playing the game tomorrow, so maybe I'll come on, or me and Rob will come on, and we'll let you know how that game went, give a little recap, and kind of point out some tactical pointers, I guess, about the game and how it went, which would be pretty cool. Other than that, we're Cold Country Wargaming, and we're hoping you guys come back and keep listening to us, and look forward to battle reports in the future. It'll be a good time. Rob, you got any closing remarks?
Nope. I don't want to leave it on nope. So, just paint something.
Rob said, go to hell. He doesn't want to talk to
you. Just paint something. Once you start, it's easier to keep going.
All right. Well, happy quarantine, everybody. Stay safe. Stay 6 feet apart. Listen to your governors, I guess. And, you know, try not to go crazy without GW.
Yeah, Joe and I will be playing social distancing over the computer. So, okay, have a good night.
No, we're playing in person, but we're going to be playing, what is it, Hammer and Anvil, the long ways one. The table's 6 feet long, so we're within regulation.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
All right. Have a good one, everybody, and stay safe.